agnostics were so evil and are so evil. Because I'm supposing that there are still people who are Gnostics today, and they like to dress like the Gnostics, all medieval and everything. They're so evil that they don't pronounce the G at the beginning of their name. G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S, and the G is silent. That's, oh boy. That's evil, if you ask me. It should be Gnostics, but no. That would be obvious, but no. Operating in a shadowy realm, they don't pronounce the G, and they say Gnostics. And that's sinister, I think. Now, the Gnostics were sissies because they wanted to help God out on his resume. I'm referring to what I talked about yesterday, that God has bought the field. He bought everything, and now he can do with it what he will. This may seem like a little bit of a sidetrack, but it's not. So the Gnostics were sissies because they were very appalled, as we all are, by bad things that happen and evil beings that exist. As we look at the 24 elders, we also know that there are other evil beings in the universe. I'm happy that these elders are the good ones because they're singing the praises of God and Christ. But as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6, there are also sovereignties, authorities, and world mights of this present darkness among the celestials. They are evil. And we're not hearing about them here, but by the fact that the elders have white robes and wreaths tells us that they have won a battle of epic proportions against an enemy. And that would not be against earthly enemies because at the time this battle took place, there was no such thing as the earth. Now we're getting the big picture. They battled sovereignties, authorities, and world mights of wickedness and of darkness. And the Gnostics see bad things, and you see bad things happening, and none of us like it, but it's tempting to want to relieve God of responsibility for his universe and for everything. And the Gnostics, or should I say the Gnostics, take that, you people. Take that, you medieval dressing peasants. They devised a system wherein there could be two gods. There could be two natures. There could be the evil and there could be good. And God, there's a dichotomy created where you remove God from responsibility for all his creation. And you separate the natural from the spiritual. Everything that belongs to the body or to our natural hungers or desires is evil. And then there's a spirit world which is good. And so people get this idea today, even in Christianity, with the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. People think there are two different gods. One grouchy, grumpy, evil one in the Old Testament. And then there's a sweet, lovable God that we see in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. But drawing now from the truth yesterday that Christ, with his blood, bought everything, he now has the entire creation at his disposal. Always has, really. But his blood is a guarantee that everything will be brought to oneness and goodness and light back to him. In the meantime, he uses both good and evil to affect his purposes. And he uses even Satan to affect his purposes. The Gnostics will always want to put intermediaries in between God and his activities. Now, I will give the Gnostics this much, that God does use intermediaries, but they make the intermediaries sovereign. They make the intermediaries to have gone off the leash and out of God's control. This is important to know as we continue in the book of Revelation, but this comes to me as we're talking about the 24 elders and God buying everything and redeeming everything. He shed his blood and even Satan, because every knee is going to bow to Christ. Paul says that. Philippians 2:10, every knee shall bow, celestial, terrestrial, subterranean. There ain't nothing left, folks. Celestial, terrestrial, subterranean. Every knee's going to bow. So, the thing's done. And I was wondering the other day how smart Satan really is, because apparently he doesn't know that he's bought and that he's going to end up via that verse. I just read or recited verses like Colossians 1:20, that all that is created, whether those things in the heavens or the earth, will be conciliated to God by the blood of Christ. I wonder if he knows that verse. Apparently he doesn't. Does Satan know Romans 11:36? All is out of God, through God, and into God. The great law of circularity, that all came out of God, everything exists through God, and all returns to God. I wonder if Satan knows that verse. He seems to be resisting it. Well, God himself, well, Israel's resisting God 24/7. And we know in the case of Israel, God gives them a spirit of stupor. Romans 11:25. So if that's true of Israel, I'm pretty sure it's true of Satan too. But at a certain time in your life of knowing God, he does work through intermediaries. Why does he do that? I'm not quoting scripture, so I'll just call it, I have a thought about this, but it's true as can be, is that God works through intermediaries to wean us into the truth. He doesn't do bad things directly. Now, we know that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was crucified. We know that this was according to the will of God. We know that it was according to his counsels. We know that the Lamb was slain from before the disruption of the world, Revelation 13:8. But we also know that God didn't come down here himself and with a giant fist kill his Son. He used intermediaries, and we can go down the line. We can start with Satan. He dispatched Satan, as he did in the days of Job. Satan appeared before God. God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" God dispatches Satan, and Satan uses intermediaries of disease, wind, fire, death. So Satan becomes a tool. And who killed Jesus Christ? Did Satan do it? Well, Satan inspired Judas. He went in Judas. He assumed the man, consumed the man. And there's another intermediary. Then we have the priests. Then we have the Romans, who actually drove the nails. Who did it? They all did it. But they're intermediaries. But there comes a time in your life, in your walk, and it's comforting at first to think that, okay, God didn't do this. There's a good and there's evil. There's good and evil. And God is in a life and death struggle with the evil powers. And this is the Star Wars mentality. You sit, watch Star Wars. I went in 1976 and saw it when it first came out, and I hated that movie. Sorry for your Star Wars fans. Just like, doo, 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 all these shooting and... It's just like, oh, come on. It's just a galactic version of cowboys and Indians. I guess I'm so bored with this stuff is because I know that it's just a something immediately to our vision, is this life and death struggle. But God has long taken me behind the curtain to see that it's him. And this is what God does eventually, is that when you're ready for that, when he's brought you along, he says, psst, psst, come here, psst, you, me? Yeah, psst, come here, I got something to tell you. What? All is of me. It's all of me. I create good and evil. I do all these things. Isaiah 45:7. You got to be mature to hear that, buddy. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. When you realize that he is actually doing it. He killed his Son. He killed the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he is bringing Satan in a fury to the earth to cleanse it. He's using intermediaries. But the Gnostics are babies. They can't handle it. We're Gnostics. And so we know that God and never does anything bad. So we're going to say that all these intermediaries are sovereign. Sovereign. Well, they're not. To me, that's the nightmare teaching. It's hard either way. But I would rather it be hard that God's doing it all than it to be hard that the intermediaries have a sovereign realm. If that's the case, if the intermediaries have a sovereign realm, then what's to stop them from screwing up God's plan? What assurance do we have that what God says is going to happen is going to happen? What if these evil sovereignties in their sovereign realm decide to withstand it? But God does show us the interplay, and these 24 elders did do battle in ancient days of the universe, and they rose victorious. But even that, as epic as it is and as high as it is, it's the relative viewpoint, and it's God's use of intermediaries. But when we look behind the scenes, we see one hand, one God doing everything. You might say, if you want to say Satan's his left hand, okay, you know, not his literal left hand, but if you want to say that Satan's a tool he uses for evil, it's true. He used the Assyrians to bring against Israel. What's Isaiah chapter 15, something like that. Used the Assyrian army that was totally unaware that God was manhandling them and sending them against his people to discipline them. Pharaoh, completely unaware that he was being used by God, that God was actively hardening his heart so that he would not let his people go, so that God could display his power against the stubborn Pharaoh. That's the whole idea of it, Romans 9. So when you're mature, you come behind the curtain and God says, I'm doing this. It's all me. I bought the entire universe. There's another teaching of maturity for you, that God bought humanity, and not only that, but he bought the entire universe. And it's his right to do with that what he will. And I know what he's going to do with it. Now, Martin, are you a genius? No, the scripture says he's going to reconcile all things through the blood of his son. And these elders are saying, thou dost buy us with thy blood. He gave his soul. And so this really helps you understand some of what was happening at the cross. Because my God, if he was only a sacrifice for Israel, then what did they do? The lambs were the type. So you slit the throat of the little lamb. I hate that. I don't want to think about it. And the blood runs out. They don't suffer very much. And that's it. So if he was the anti-type, why didn't they just slit his throat on an altar? But why do you have to go through this torture and this agony and being beaten and humiliated and the crown of thorns and all this? It's because it was for more than just Israel, and more even than just for humanity. It was for the entire universe. And if you're going to credit God for that salvation, you cannot then go and talk about the intermediaries and damn them and say, damn Satan, damn sin, damn Adam, damn death. You can't do that, because you see that these were all necessary parts. And then when God takes you behind the scenes, behind the curtain, you say, oh, you're responsible for all this. So now you might not have to like it. I'm not telling you you're supposed to love death, love Adam, love Satan, love sin, but now you have a calmer understanding of it. But these are all just tools that God bought everything. He owns the whole store, and he can use the wrench and the screwdriver, and he can put up the air freshener and the shower head. He can do all these things with everything that he has, and the outcome is always going to be good. We know it's good. We know it's good because we have the end of the story while we're going through it. I don't want to be in suspense as to the outcome of the universe. I don't have to be. Everything is out of God, through God, and by God, it returns to God.